Matthew, shall we stand in honor to the word of God? Bless you. We're wrapping up our series on creating an apostolic symphony. So from Matthew 18, 19, first of all, from the KJV, which is short for King James Version. Woo! Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, oh, I love that, there am I in the midst of them. Okay, and then verse 19, which was the first verse we read, from the Amplified Classic. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony together. And they're, what they're saying is, in the original language, which would be the Greek of the New Testament, you can see this, these extra tints and hues and colors in the original Greek. So there it is. Make a symphony together about whatever, anything, and everything they may ask. It will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. Creating an apostolic symphony. You may be seated. We have, this is our, as far as I know, this is our last part. So it's part four. We've talked about symphony, and I hear people telling me that this has been a witness idea that people have. I shared it with my neighbor today on the phone, and turned into a witness situation. Creating a symphony. I believe that God in our homes wants to create a symphony. I believe that he wants to create a symphony in a church. And when he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, he was referring to the church. Even if it's a small church, you can create a symphony. So real quick, from your notes, let's have some audience participation. And then I want to go to a couple of major points before we wrap it up in just a little bit here. So to create a symphony, everybody has to be where? Present on the same platform to create a symphony. We can't be scattered. There is the power of getting together. There is something. I get blessed when I seek God by myself. And frankly, there are days when I get caught up in the presence of the Lord and I just need three or four more hours, but I have to get up and get some pastoring done. But I love to get in his presence because in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Isn't that what we're supposed to be about, the presence of God? Don't we relish the presence of God in a one God atmosphere? We relish the presence of God. We cherish the presence of God. And there's something about when we get with you and in each one of us, there is a glory, there is an anointing that comes when we meet in unity, remembering that in the word unity, the you comes before the I. Woo, wow, praise God. Okay, we all must, if we're going to create an apostolic symphony, we have to be singing the same song. What is our song? Our song is soul winning, harvest, revival, gifts of the Spirit, holiness, and on it goes. We're singing the same song. Oh, and here's one that I really love. Where is the piccolo? That's what Sir Michael Costa said when he was having a rehearsal with his symphonic orchestra and the piccolo player decided that they would sort of fake it, you know, and sort of not play their little flute-like instrument that particular moment. And all of a sudden, that famous conductor stopped the whole. I think he yelled at the top of his lungs, top of his voice, stop. And he was very, very bold and aggressive with it. And he pointed up into that section and he yelled at the top of his voice, where is the piccolo? Because the finely tuned ear of a conductor can tell when there's a part missing, just like the ear of our conductor can tell. You see, we can think, well, because I'm not prominent, or in my mind I'm not prominent, I don't have a vital role. There are organs in here that are not prominent. Shall we say, before I lost 28 pounds, they were more prominent? But without your liver, you can't live. That's why it's called the liver. You can't live without it. It has 500 functions. It's not prominent, hopefully. certainly not extremely visible, but is it important? You can't live without your liver. That's why it's called that. And there are functions and there are ministries in the body that might not be hugely visible, but nevertheless extremely vital. So my question is, where is the instrument you play? What is the ministry you're supposed to have? Nobody can replace you. Nobody. So he anoints us in our uniqueness. Every one of us is a special commodity. All right, anything else? Anything else about a symphony that you can remember in this series? Oh! There is a conductor. And by the way, the score, we would call it, you know, in music, I mean the written music, the notes and stuff, the score for God's symphony is the Word of God. Thank you, Naylene. Con mucho gusto. En Espíritu Santo. Not bad. True. So we have the Word of God. That's our score. And our conductor is Jesus of Nazareth. And he holds a baton, which I like to call a scepter. And wasn't that important in the life of Esther when she touched the scepter? We serve under, with, and under the conductor. I don't mind telling you, I have elders in my life. I was in a conversation with a great man of God just the other day. And he was trying to give us an example of some amazing things that are happening in his church. And he said to me, who has veto power in your life? He said that to me. And so I looked at him and I was trying to figure out, is he using this as an illustration or does he really want to know? So he said it the second time to me. So I'm going to bring it and give it to you. Does anybody have veto power in your life? I hope that answer is not no. Because everybody needs voices. Everybody needs elders. And there might be times when you disagree, but you're not disagreeable. Ooh, praise God. So he said it the second time, and I was still caught, you know, like a deer in the headlights. So he said it again the third time. Is there anyone who has veto power in your life? And I was happy to give him three names. You didn't expect that, did you? My pastor pastors somewhere between 1,300 and 2,000 people, one God, Jesus' name, apostolics. I also have a presbyter. I have a superintendent. I have three people in my life who have veto power in my life. Why? Because I serve under a conductor. And listen, this is so important. In our churches, we need a revelation of the role of authority. I don't mean dictatorial. I don't mean hard-nosed. I don't mean any of that. Because I don't believe in that rendition. If that's somebody's rendition, that's not what I'm referring to. But just godly voices that we listen to and that we're submitted to for protection. None of us, last I checked, I'm so glad for this next fact. None of us have eyes in the back of our head. And I'm so glad we don't. Because that would spook me out. I'm not easily spooked, but that would really spook me. So we have voices. And from time to time, a man of God might call me and say something to me that he feels led, of God to say. And I'm there to listen and pray and receive that. I thank God for the wonderful voices in my life. I think I might sneak down the freeway and spend a couple of days, maybe, if the Lord would help us, with my beautiful wife and our friends from yesteryear. It's a great thing, the general conference of our great fellowship. Okay, so do you remember Brother Dinkins? Of course, he's one of the chief leaders, although when you're around him, he's just as calm and Brother Dinkins is as humble as they come, isn't he? He's just street level, but he's special assistant to the pastor. He's the financial officer of our church. He's also, by the way, a board member. Oh, my. But he, if you just talk to him, he's just as ordinary and just but brilliant, you know, managerial. He's leadership. But when he was teaching here a couple weeks ago, and I love it when he teaches and preaches, he said something very wise. He said, before you get ready to make a major decision in your life, talk to your pastor. Wow. I thought that was amazing. In other words, get under. Oh, it's so good to have you there, Jeff. I'm sorry. Got a teaser. God bless Sister Jan and Brother Aaron. They're a blessing to us. We love them dearly. Okay. So I just thought, you know, here's a man saying to me, who has veto power in your life? I wasn't reluctant because I was afraid of the question. I just didn't know if he was telling a story or he was telling me an illustration or he wanted to know. So when he repeated it a third time, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost, which are just offices and not persons. I thought, you know, the third time, I think he's trying to ask me this question. And so I was glad to provide him three names. And those are just the first three names that came to me. I probably have more people than that that have veto power in my life. But the first three that came to me. I hope that somebody in your life has veto power. You know, that can say, I'll never forget this. Brother Ewing told one of our most outstanding evangelists, and he worked out of his church, this wonderful man of God has preached here many times, preached at Awakenings. He wanted to preach in Alaska, and Brother Ewing just felt checked, his pastor. So Murray Ewing told him, no, I don't want you to go. And the evangelist thought, well, okay, my pastor is checking me. You know, he's vetoing my, and so he had a ticket even bought. All the stuff set up, and so he decided, if my pastor does not feel good and the Holy Ghost about me going to Alaska, I won't go. That weekend was the mountain, St. Helens, that blew and filled the sky with debris and ash. And if he had tried to have flown on a plane, if they would have even let the planes fly, it would have been such a disastrous experience. But God knew what he was doing. And he listened to a great man of God speak into his life. Thank God for pastors. I thank God for wonderful pastors. Matter of fact, let's bless our pastors in our state, in our section. Lord, bless our pastors. Strengthen them. Touch them. Bless them. Anoint them. Refresh them. Thank you for elders in my life. Thank you for preachers in my life. Thank you, Lord God, for godly men, godly, spiritual shepherds in my life that speak to me and speak into my heart. God, keep a set of protections, I pray. Keep a set of protections available to us, Lord, on a day-to-day basis in Jesus' name. Praise God. All right, now I want to show you something that we haven't gotten to, and it has to do with something that I noticed. In Matthew chapter 18, we read our verse 19 and our verse 20, but we didn't read the next two verses in the King James Version. I want you to see it if we could. The very next verse after it says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Very next verse. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till seven times? Why in the world is this verse? And then the next one, verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. What in the world is this subject, this conversation doing next door, right next door to the concept of symphony? Because it's a key to symphony. That's why. The subject is forgiveness. It takes forgiveness to create symphony. And those of us that have been here a little while, you will remember, and for our precious new folks, that are coming. And God bless each and every one. We have had, over the last few years, 3 forgiveness revivals. At least 3, maybe 4, but conservatively speaking, 3 forgiveness revivals. Oh, I hope you're taking some notes. I hope you're taking some. Oh, good. Okay, I'm seeing cell phones moving and fingers scrambling and brains lighting up. What are some of the results? Brother Tim, what are the results of a forgiveness revival? Well, you were seed to our altar call, that one revival. When we had these forgiveness revivals, God touched us and healed some of us, but he also moved upon our kids. Something I heard a great man of God say this years ago, if you will hit the altar, mom and dad, if you will hit the altar, go to the altar and have a new experience in God, wherever your kids are, God will touch them as well. Lift your hand. Let's thank God for that. Would you with me, Lord? Jesus, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, for every time you've touched us and moved on us and moved upon our kids and moved upon our families, Lord, we don't take you for granted. We thank you for the unique way that you call us, Lord, to repentance, to brokenness. I was sharing with my neighbor what we did with the word team. Was it last week? When I asked Scott to put it up bigger, put the word up there bigger, bigger. T-E-A-M, of course, the famous statement from it. There's no I in team, but here's my real favorite. And that is that there's an M and an E in team. Oh, thank you. So there's a me, but it's broken. Because it takes a broken me to build a team. It takes a broken me to build a symphony. I've got to somehow submit myself to my melody, submit myself to the song, submit myself to the conductor, whose job is to set the tempo. When I say set the tempo, I want to tell you that one of our biggest challenges is our timing. And I demonstrated that. By conversations that sometimes happen at my house at midnight. And I would say, can we? Hey, baby, I was thinking about, my wife is such a get-up-and-go gal. She's so motivated. Her brain almost never turns off. But when it does turn off, it is off. I have been on many a call, and I'd be talking to her, and I'd start to say, ah, and she's already gone, and I'm talking to her. She's gone. Thank you. Hello. You missed a sentence there. I was still talking, and she was gone. She thought the conversation was over. She does not tarry. And when she conks out at night, I don't know anybody that can conk out as fast as she does. Amen. I mean, we're leaving the, we're living, or yeah, we're living and we're leaving. Yeah, we're living and we're leaving the living room. And I said, okay, now, I'm coming and I'm shutting down the house and I'm, you know, and I hear from my bedroom. Shh. That was like 15 seconds. I wish I could fall asleep that fast. Maybe we could have her teach a seminar on how to, when you do turn your brain off, turn it off all the way. And it's like, who goes to sleep that fast? And I come to bed, and the lights are out, and she's like she's been sleeping 8 hours, and it's been 20 seconds. Takes me about 2 hours to wind down. But if she wakes up, say, baby, on my to-do list, number 255. Oh, that's scary. Hey, Jack, it's past midnight. Would you please just go go to sleep again. Okay, okay. Timing is everything. Timing is everything. You know, we want everything to go like this. Bum, 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 bum. And here comes Jesus. Bum, bum. We want everything to be real fast. Not Holy Spirit, holy rush. Holy speed. And God comes along, and the Bible says, and the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Come on, I want there to be, you know, hurdles. No, the steps of a good man, they're solid, they're ordered of the Lord. You need patience. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, he said, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. We're usually in a big fat hurry, and very few things go well when you're in a hurry, but the only thing you get is in trouble when you're in a hurry, because the conductor is supposed to be setting the tempo, but it's never fast enough for us. If he slows you down, this is what I say to people that are dating. Slow. My most anointed, most brainiac concept articulated. Go slow. And so often we're trying to set land speed records like we live at the Nevada salt flats instead of calming ourselves down and having some peace. Anybody ever hear peace? And I'm not talking about a piece of cake, okay? I'm talking about peace. Oh, man. It takes forgiveness to create a symphony. By the way, up on the net, up on our website, we have a series. It must needs be that offenses come. We have a series. You can go up and tag into that. Anybody remember that from a couple years ago? Never taught a series quite like that. The Lord seemed to really speak to people and help people with that. And for that, we're grateful. Feel free to go up there. There's no charge. Praise God. Here's a quote I want to give you. Your wound is probably not your fault, but your healing is your responsibility. Your wound is probably not your fault, but your healing is your responsibility. How many of you understand what that's saying? I don't want to walk through life and be angry at everybody and be blame shifting, and all of that is nothing but exhausting. But my healing is my responsibility. Here's another one. Somebody said it this way. I am sorry to all the people that I hurt while I was hurting. There is a restaurant. I'm almost done. There is a restaurant that I used to go to all the time. Okay. So I had not been in there in months. And I thought the other day, about last week sometime, I thought I'm going to get some breakfast. Although it was a limited breakfast. Look how trim this. Aaron, how many pounds have you lost?
It was a total of 30.
Oh, I'm not far behind you. You're looking great. Looking like a teeny bopper. Goodness, Slim Jim. Anyway, the breakfast that I used to have, the gravy, the grits, the hash browns, the Goodyear blimp checking in to get his daily groceries. Yeah, no, not that route. Anyway, this is a restaurant on a certain side of town, not this side. And it's run by a family. Really a neat family, by the way. And so I knew of some feud that had happened, like, say, a couple of years ago, between the sisters that work at this restaurant. So I thought, now, I don't want to be too, you know, too I just want to do this in a real gentle way. I want to check on how the feud's going, hoping that it's been solved and it's all been worked out. And up to my table comes one of the sisters who was a key player. Let me see if I can describe what she used to look like. She used to look like a model. She used to look like something out of the pages of some slick magazine, you know, modeling magazine or something. Blonde, tall, and really looked like just not as beautiful as my wife, but striking. Okay.
That's right.
You better do a clarification.
That's right. That's right.
The prayer of the stuttering priest. So, is that, see? God is the word of knowledge. So funny. You are so funny. Thank you. 2 points. Slam dunk. Anyway, when she walked up to my table, she looked. Now, I'm really, you got to know, I'm not trying to be like, I don't think I'm a cynical person. I don't. But she looked like she'd aged about 15 to 20 years in 2 years. Okay, now, it happens when you don't forgive. I am serious, and I am not exaggerating. Maybe older than that, even like more years, and only been a couple of years, or less, maybe a year since I'd seen her, maybe two. So, very pleasant young lady. I just happened to ask. In the most gentle, I really wasn't trying to stir the pot. You know, some people just love to stir the pot. And everywhere they go, I think the president has this personality. God bless him, and please pray for him right now. But he loves to stir the pot. Get out of the kitchen, press. Okay, so I just, in the most gentle way, I'm smiling. Did that all get worked out? And she blew up. As a matter of fact, when she came down, she landed on the other side of the restaurant. And I heard her mumbling out loud some stuff that probably might not be repeatable. And then I thought, this is what happens to us when we don't forgive. It will make you old. It will make you angry. Resentment, resentment. You send out ill will, it gets sent back to you, but the only deal is you pay the postage twice. So here is the young lady who should have maybe been a model. And she physically almost looked like a different person. But inside of her, she's carrying enough acid to sink the Titanic. And I stood on the shores of Newfoundland, the closest to where the Titanic went down. And I got to thinking about that. Because I tried to offer my help a couple, 3 years ago. You know, I'm here. If there's, you know, I tried to be a part of the answer. I tried to bring cheer to the restaurant. I tried to, you know, be available for counseling or anything so that they could get this feud worked out. It's not better. It's not even the same. It's worse. Your life is too short to live it angry. Your life is too short to live it bitter. Your life is too precious to be full of animosity. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Right now, raise your hand. Lord, we release forgiveness. We release forgiveness. We release. Lord Jesus, we release forgiveness. We release forgiveness, Lord. We know and believe it's a key factor in building a symphony, Lord, in really having music that melts the heart and ministers to the soul. We can't do that if we're full of anger. May I say, all of us have had crazy experiences. I had some crazy experiences while I was burying my daughter. From people who had no clue what that feels like. But they were extremely hard-nosed and harsh. And I wished them well. Because it wasn't a personal thing. It was just, that was their, I guess that was their deal, their demeanor. Demeanor. Okay. That was whatever. But they chose a terrible time to present themselves like that in my life. I want to tell you, whatever is going on, you can have victory. Do you remember when I preached that Sunday, Brother Cunningham? Some of those guys texted me, didn't know if I'd be able to preach that Sunday, the few days after she was killed in that accident. And I preached like my hair was on fire. And when I got done, I said, excuse me, we gotta run out here and choose a casket for my daughter, but please forgive us. We normally hang around and shake hands and so on, but we're on our way to pick out a casket for Ember. I want to tell you what, he can give you victory. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're going through. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have enough of God in you to put you over, to raise you up on the mountain and give you a sweet spirit and a kindness and a goodness and a grace. God will crown you with loving kindness and grace if you will praise him. Come on, lift your hearts with me. Almost done. Wonderful God. In Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you in everything, he says in his word. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's thank him for something difficult. Let's thank him for something that's tough. Let's thank him for something that's, you know, broke our hearts. Because it takes a broken me to build a team. God is so smart. He can engineer anything. He can use anything to produce a greater brokenness in us. Ooh, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost in the house. Let's just take a praise break. Let's just take a praise break. Oh, my. I don't care what you're going through. He's with you. He's with you. He's with you. He's in you. His hand is on your life. He'll encourage you. He'll lift you up. He'll walk the tall mountains with you. He'll be there. He's got your backside. He's watching over you night and day. Woo! He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Woo! Hallelujah, as we soften the lights in the name of Jesus, there's a sweet touch of God in the air. Be encouraged. He loves you. Be encouraged. He's with you. He's for you. Be encouraged. Be inspired. Be illuminated with God's grace and wisdom today. Woo! In the name of Jesus, it's going to take forgiveness to make music. It's going to take forgiveness to build. To build a symphony. I love these simple words. I remember hearing them in Sunday schools when I was young. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger from Ephesians 4:31 and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. But listen to it in the Amplified Classic. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper and resentment, anger, animosity and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention and slander, evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will or baseness of any kind. Is that a mouthful? In verse 32 from the Amplified Classic, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted. I love that. Loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. This happened to us just a week out from this past Sunday, and thank you, God, for the unique move of your presence. We had had one of them amazing Sunday worship experiences. Thank you, Brother Thad, and our just unbelievable worship team. Do they not do an unrivaled, unparalleled job? And so it was extended, and worship was extended, and God was God was amplified, God was lifted up, God was magnified, as it were. And we finally get home, and my wife got out of the car and opened the door that opens up from the garage to the laundry room. But when I opened the car door, I smelled it instantly. She said, "Oh, it smells in here." And I said something like, "That's gas." And what had happened, we bought this little moving counter. Like, it's about, 4 feet long and a foot and a half wide, and it's on wheels, and it's right in the center of the kitchen. Because of that, when we go around it, we come up closer to the stove on this side. And of course, cupboards over here and so on. But one was probably me, I'm guessing, shot by that stove and accidentally turned on with my coat or something, turned on one of those little handles on the stove, and for 5 hours my house filled up with dangerous gas fumes. And think now, 5 hours. Okay, just even opening the door should have blown us to pieces. It's the smallest. Listen to this. This is how bad it was. It took me 7 fans, 6 to 7 open windows, several hours to clear it out. And it still smelled like gas. We could have blown our house up, blown ourselves up. And I wanted to tell you almost lost your pastoral family. Totally. But we're here. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. You are here. I am here. We are here. By the goodness of God. And I told that to tell you that as I thought about that and prayed about it, the Lord seemed to show me that if we're not careful, that's what's going on in some of our hearts. If we're not careful, there's a buildup of such frustration, maybe even disillusionment. Ladies and gentlemen, I know what it feels like to be extremely disillusioned. So do you. But bring it to his feet. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Don't let junk build up in your life. Release it through forgiveness. So right now, as Brother Thad comes to help us for a few moments here as we close today, we just open our hearts up to the influence of the Holy Ghost, and we say, Lord, that we're here by the grace of God. We're here by the mercies of God. and we want to give that mercy. You said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Sometimes one little bump in this world to people, some little jostle, some little, and all of a sudden, people are screaming obscenities and are red in the face and cussing us out. And we're trying to think of what big bad thing we did. Probably wasn't much of anything. People just live with this buildup, but not the people of God. Shouldn't be happening. Lift your hands with me in closing this evening. Love you. He loves us. He's here to help us. Great God, oh, wash me, Lord. Wash us, we pray. Wash us, we pray. If any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, wash us, Lord. Wash us in the blood of the Lamb. Yechekenisya. Go ahead, let the Holy Ghost pray in you. Amen. Let it go. Let it go. Just let it go. Put it under the blood. Let God take care of it. In Jesus' name, let your heart be free. Let your soul sprout its wings. Let the joy of the Lord come to us again. Let the joy of our God. Go ahead. Let the Spirit of the Lord pray in you, through you, in utterance, in language, in words that you do not know with your mind. But your spirit prayeth, the apostle said. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. Lift every heart. We lay burdens down. We lay weights down. We lay stress down. We lay orneriness down. We lay stubbornness down. We lay angst down. We lay it down at your feet, Lord. I believe in the power of your blood. I believe in the power of your blood. Let the Holy Ghost pray in you, because you're building yourself up on your most holy faith. You're building yourself up on your most holy faith. Thank you, Jesus. I forgive. I forgive them. Sometimes you have to say that and pray that for days or weeks or months, but there's coming a day when you'll say it, and you'll say it with an anointing, and you'll feel the release. It'll be gone. Hallelujah. Processed. Washed away in his love. Washed away in his grace. Thank you, God. Thank you.